So he shared with me just where the church is at and what's been going on. And I'm just really excited. Can I tell you, so the church I came from was called Southside Worship Center. My goodness, is this like identical. Even the songs we were singing, I Know Who I Am, and those are the songs we did back home. And so it blessed my heart today. And the bass player taking that bass for a walk, I just appreciated that. That blessed my heart today. But the pastor was telling me, just what's going on, and just the shift in mindset, the shift in vision, and knowing that here's this church, and very similar to the church I was at before, surrounded by homes, surrounded by people. And what a blessing that is. I know there's other churches around you as well, but we're all on the same team. And but definitely, you've got these people around you, and I know your pastor's heart. Can I tell you, he loves you, he loves this church, and he's got a love for people who don't know Christ. And but he told me you guys did something really, really cool recently. You did Alpha. You did the Alpha course. I'm part of the Alpha course at our church. We just did our Alpha weekend yesterday, and it was awesome. And we did all the talks on the Holy Spirit, and it was an incredible time together. But he said you did Alpha on Sundays during church. And I know that that was not popular with many people, and that's okay. And what I can say to that, well done, church. Well done. As a local church, we need to do what we're not doing to reach those we're not reaching. Amen. To the person who's down the street right now, who's maybe still sleeping, maybe they don't know that, they don't associate church with Sundays. You could have church on Thursday nights. It doesn't really matter. What you do in the church service, it matters, but it doesn't have to be the traditional thing. I'm glad that you went with what the Holy Spirit was leading. You did Alpha. Good on you. But my word this morning is just five words. Keep putting in the effort. That's what I believe the word for you today from the Lord as a church. Keep putting in the effort. Can I tell you that the size of a church's congregation does not dictate the power of God? It does not dictate the power of God and his ability to change people's lives. It doesn't. I can tell you that, and I'm not an over-spiritual person or anything, but wow, powerful this morning, honestly, and just a privilege to be here. But can I tell you that I am the product of someone else's effort, and I believe we all are. But my background, I don't want to get too much into it, that's a whole other sermon, but I never went to church until I was 18 years old. Actually, that's a lie. I went to like two weddings as a kid, if that counts. I was a ring bearer once, wore this like awesome white tuxedo. I looked awesome, at least I thought I did. I never went to church. Church was not a reality in my reality. My parents divorced when I was 3. My dad was an alcoholic. He was a police officer. My mom was a single mom, raised us, and it just wasn't something we did. And so high school, all those things, just I found, you know, TV kind of raised me. My friends kind of raised me. Their parents kind of raised me. And we just kind of, you know, went down a slippery slope in high school and just kind of did all the things you're not supposed to do. Well, I did those. And but what happened was I was 18 years old, and I was visiting my dad over the holidays. My dad lived in Cornwall, Ontario, which is just on the border of Quebec and Ontario. And I was there one night. It was about 1 o'clock in the morning. I'll never forget it. Smoking a cigarette, and I was just alone in his living room. And I was just, I didn't know what I was. I know now that I was lonely. I was so lonely. I had friends. We weren't like the popular group in school, but we were like the next tier down. So like we had, like I had all that stuff, but I was lonely. I was empty and I was lonely. And simply, I looked up and I just said, God, if you're there, I need your help. That's all I said. Put out my cigarette and went to bed. 1 week later, I met a girl. And the girl invited me to church. She basically said, if you want to like hang out with me, I go to church. And I said, but I wanted to go to church. I actually used to ask my mom to take me to church, and it's just something we didn't do. So I went to church, a Baptist church in Oshawa, one of the biggest churches there. And just something started to change. My friends at school all didn't want anything to do with me now, and that was fine. But I started to meet people that were nice to me. I started to meet people that cared about me. I had a youth pastor there that took time with me. And then this was in 1995. About 6 months went by. I was in the youth groups. I was still in high school. And just meeting people, hanging out, just trying to find out what was going on. I wasn't a Christian yet. But then we went to something called the Billy Graham Crusade, June 10th, 1995. It was at the Sky Dome in Toronto where the Blue Jays played. And I went because my friends were like, hey, we're going on a bus. We're going to go to Toronto. You want to come? yes, of course I do. I had no, you know, agenda or anything, went there. God got a hold of me and gave my life to Christ. So amen to that. Thank you for the Billy Graham and his ministry. But people put in the effort for me to get to where I was. So church, keep going. Keep doing what you feel led to do. If something comes up, if pastor says, this is what I sense we're doing, and you don't agree with that, have a conversation. Hear the heart of the church and where it's going, because keep going. We need to put in the effort. We need to do what we're not doing to reach the people we're not reaching. Let me pray for the church this morning. God, we thank you for New Hope Christian Assembly. Thank you for the new work you're doing, God. God, I just pray against mindsets. I pray against hard hearts. I pray against just kind of religious spirits where we just think things need to be a certain way. God, may this church not be a preference-driven church, but a purpose-driven church to reach those that don't know you, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for what you're doing in here. You're in this place. Be with us today. Speak through your word. Amen. 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 Well, my message this morning is called, There's Gain in the Pain. There's gain in the pain. And this is based loosely on a motto that's very popular in the fitness world, no pain, no gain. As you can see, I would be what you call out of shape. Actually, I've never been in shape. I might be a shape, but anyways. I have nothing against exercise. I tried to do the walking thing. I tried to do the running thing, but the running thing quickly, I got from like here to the TV and it became a walking thing again. My wife keeps telling me I need to exercise more, and I have no problem with it. If you do it, that's great. I'm just not there yet. But here's the reason I don't agree with exercise. I don't do ups. I don't do ups. Sit-ups, push-ups, chin-ups. I don't do ups. Ups defy gravity. Gravity is the law, and I obey the law. I do downs. I sit down. I lay down. Give me a cheeseburger, I'll wolf it down. That's what I do. That's where there's the disconnect right there. But those in the fitness world feel that they are required to endure pain and pressure to achieve professional excellence. No pain, no gain. If you're feeling pain, then you're doing something right. If you're feeling pain, then you're soon going to see good results. But in our daily lives, pain is not something we look forward to, or is it something we strive to achieve? Pain is something that can debilitate us, it can knock us down, and it can keep us from where God wants to take us. Prayer requests today, there's pain within the church today. Pain means that we're going through something. Maybe it's a hurt, maybe it's a situation. But sometimes in our pain, and I've been there, we freeze. See, the phrase going through something means you're going through it. It means there's emotion. It means there's something good on the other side. But unfortunately for many of us, we don't go through it. We decide to sit in it. We decide to let that pain surround us, keep us down, knock us down, and we're just going to sit and let whatever that is drown us. Now, today's text from the Bible, I'm going to read from a book called James in the New Testament. It was written by a guy named James, and it's a scripture that's really close to my heart. Now, James was Jesus' brother. Side note, how much pressure would it have been to be the brother of Jesus? Like, if you did something wrong, and then your parents come up to you and be like, why can't you be more like Jesus? I don't know if I can handle that. That's just the way my brain thinks sometimes. But James became the recognized leader of the Jerusalem church shortly after Jesus' resurrection. He wrote to Jewish Christians who had been now scattered amongst the land because of Christian persecution. So they were kind of hiding, scattering around because they were afraid of the authorities who would arrest them, imprison them, and maybe kill them. And James' primary concern in his letter was for the Christians to maintain undivided faith and loyalty to God, despite their pain, despite their situations, despite what they're facing. If you have your Bible today, you can open to the book of James chapter 1. I'm going to come down here and read. I'm going to read a pretty big piece of scripture today. James 1, let me start. It says, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes scattered among the nations, greetings. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea, blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do. Believers in humble circumstances ought to take pride in their high position, but the rich should take pride in their humiliation, since they will pass away like a wildflower. For the sun rises with scorching heat and withers the plant. Its blossom falls and its beauty is destroyed. In the same way, the rich will fade away even while they go about their business. This is when it gets really good. Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. When tempted, no one should say, God has tempted me, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed. Then after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. Don't be deceived, my dear brothers and sisters. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created. God, we thank you for your word today. Speak through us, Holy Spirit. Amen. That scripture was something I had to lean on. I was a new Christian. I got a job and found out we were losing our job, and that was scary, because I didn't really know what was going to happen, and I felt that I needed to, verse 2 and 3, consider it pure joy. I felt like I needed to write that down on a piece of paper and stick it in my pocket, and for about 3 weeks, I carried this crumpled piece of paper around to work every day, and if someone came up, and there was a few of us that were Christians that were, we would spend our last break, we worked in a warehouse, and we would have a Bible study and kind of pray for each other, and someone would come up and be like, yo, what's going on? Are you afraid? And I would pull out the piece of paper and show them. They thought it was weird that I was carrying this around. But I pulled it out so many times, and God filled me with peace. And very close to my heart. I love the book of James because I find his words to be very simple, very understandable, but very encouraging and challenging at the same time. Now, James talks about facing trials of many kinds. And the thing with trials is they always produce one thing. Pain. Now, pain can come in many different forms, and I'm going to kind of group them in a little bit here. Physical pain, disease, illness, injury. We've got emotional pain, loneliness, heartache, maybe loss, which we heard this morning of people in the church here that are going through that. Maybe abuse. There's painful situations, something that causes stress, something that causes worry. Maybe it's finance-related. And then there's mental illness. It's a very real thing in our world now. Anxiety, panic attacks, depression. This is all pain that people go through. Pain that people outside of this church go through that don't know what to do about it. Now, I'm not going to compare my pain with someone else, but I wanted to be real with you this morning and let you know just some of the things that I've dealt with recently and just over the years that have really... the list is much longer than what I have here, but things that really rocked our world as a husband and wife, my family, and just myself. 6 years ago, I lost my dad to cancer. We didn't have the closest relationship. He had moved away, as I had mentioned before, but he had cancer 3 times, and by the 3rd time, he was done. He didn't want to fight it, and it took his life within a month. I miss him, and I can't hear a Beatles song without feeling the pain, but we lost him. 4 years ago, my mom was diagnosed with cancer. It was a very, very scary time for our family. My dad was just recently gone, and now my mom, she's okay. We prayed for her. I got to pray for my mom. I'm the only Christian in my family. I got to lay hands on my mom and pray for her, and she is in remission. Praise God for that. In the last 10 years, my wife and I have lost many close family members. Very sudden deaths, very, like, rock your world deaths. and very close patriarchs of the family, my wife's grandparents, just very sudden, within days, just hospital, died. 12 years ago, we were told that we couldn't have children. Doctor told my wife that maybe you need to look for different ways to have kids, and we were like, okay, we're trying to deal with that pain of not being able to have any kids, and then we got pregnant. And my wife went to the doctor, and the doctor looked at my wife and said, your baby will die. My wife had a lot of internal kind of issues that we didn't know what was going on. And well, I'd like to tell you this morning, well, that baby is now 11 years old, and he's awesome. 9 years ago, my wife got severely ill, and we didn't know what was going on with her. And she basically became just bones, and she couldn't keep anything down. She was so sick for 2 years. It was food allergies, believe it or not, and it almost took her life. Just trying to figure out, no one knew what was going on because doctors didn't really know that scene of things. So, but it was such a time of 2 years that was so painful for us. I'm afraid I'm going to lose my wife. I didn't know what was going on. I've worked for 3 different companies that have had sudden layoffs where myself and hundreds of others lost their jobs. I started to think that maybe I was the reason after a while, but you get a job, you have a family, you have a kid, and all of a sudden you get a notice that you've got no job anymore. Maybe some of you have experienced that. It's scary. It's very painful. And about 10 years ago, I was involved in a work accident that nearly took my life, and I'm actually going to share about that in a moment. Pain is unpleasant, but it's also a strong motivator and can be a call to action. Let me read that again. Pain is unpleasant, but it's a strong motivator and can be a call to action. Craig Groeschel is a known author and pastor in the States, and he says this. He says, the difference between where you are and where God wants you to be is equal to the pain you're willing to endure. We're going to face pain. Jesus even said, you're going to face persecution for my name. In 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 to 13, listen to what it says. It says, dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trial you are suffering as though something strange were happening to you, but rejoice that you participate in the sufferings of Christ. Everyone in this room right now has experienced pain. Some of you are dealing with it right now. Your pain might be different than someone else, but we all know what it is. We know how it feels. We all know how it hurts. And until Jesus comes back, I got some bad news for you. It's not going away. Pain entered the world at the beginning of time. Disease, sickness, physical pain, they're all traits of the evil in the world that swarm us. We need to understand that. But the pain we face will either defeat us or change us. Hear me this morning, church. It's either going to defeat us or it's going to change us. It will either move us towards Jesus or away from him. But we make the choice. We make the choice. It's our choice whether we're going to let our situation knock us down. We make the choice where we're going to say, you know what, God, I trust you, I need you, and I'm going to keep moving forward. Now, one of my favorite movies is the Rocky movies. Rocky Balboa. I'm not sure if anyone knows what I'm talking about, but they're a boxing movie about this underdog guy, Rocky Balboa, the Italian Stallion. Can I say that in church? But I did. I'm not even a boxing fan, but there's just something about those movies of this underdog guy who overcomes obstacle after obstacle after obstacle. And a few years back, there was a movie called Rocky Balboa, and it was about him as now older, a lot of plastic surgery, but older, and he had one fight left in him. And so he was like, I got to do this one last fight. So promoters heard about it. They got this fight. Rocky Balboa, legend, old guy, versus the new champion, young guy, as an exhibition match. But Rocky had a son, and the son felt that he was always in Rocky's shadow. And he blamed his dad for all kinds of things, for his life and how it was. And he heard about the fight. And there's a scene in this movie, maybe you've seen it, where Rocky's out on the street, he owns a restaurant now, he's talking to his son, and I have the quote, I want to read it to you, the gospel according to Rocky Balboa. He says this to his son, let me tell you something you already know. The world ain't all sunshine and rainbows. It is a very mean and nasty place, and it will beat you to your knees and keep you there permanently. You, me, or nobody is going to hit as hard as life. But it ain't how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done. Now, if you know what you're worth, then go out and get what you're worth, but you got to be willing to take the hit and not pointing fingers saying you ain't where you are because of him or her or anybody. Cowards do that, and that ain't you. You're better than that. I love that. I think he sums it up. We are in a world of evil, of darkness. Things happen. Life hits us. Situations hit us. Pain comes our way. And it's going to hit you. But we need to know that we've got a strength and a peace that this world doesn't all know about. That's God. It's this Holy Spirit that comes in and gives us what we need. But we have to make that choice. Unfortunately, most people fail to see how God wants to use their pain for something more than pain. But he does. God gets blamed for a lot of things, but he's good. Amen? Let me tell you this morning that God can use the pain in your life to strengthen your relationship with him. He can use the pain in your life to bring him glory. And God wants to use the pain in your life to bring his message of love and hope to someone else. In my Alpha group, there's a gentleman named Larry, and Larry lost his wife last year. Larry would be in his probably late 70s, bit of a church background, and just I prayed with this man last night, this 70-year-old man just broken and weeping and just asked for the Holy Spirit to fill him because that's the only one who can. So this morning, I want to highlight four ways that God wants to use our pain. Number one, God wants to use our pain to direct us. God wants to use our pain to direct us. Now, for me, sometimes God has to light a fire under me to get my attention. I'm not sure if anyone can relate, but pain often points us in a new direction and motivates us to change. Is God trying to get your attention? Is God maybe using that situation to let you know, I'm right here. I'm right here, here to help you. Some lessons in life we learn only through pain. It's like when you were a child and your mom said, don't touch the stove, but then you learn not to touch the stove because when she's not looking, you touch the stove and you burn your hand. True story, that happened to me. I burnt my hand and then my sister thought it would be smart to put me in a garbage bag and put me outside on the balcony. I don't know what, anyways. True story, that really happened. Bonus. But we must trust that God's way is the better way. His direction and plan for your life is way better than anything we could ever think of. That took me a long time to figure that out. It took me about 6 years from becoming a Christian, then realizing, God, I've been trying to do this. I'm terrible at this. You're awesome at this. Let's try it your way. His way's better. The verse in Proverbs, if you've been in the church long enough, you may have heard this before. Proverbs 3, verses 5 to 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not lean on your own understanding. All your ways acknowledge him. He will make your path straight. It's true. God has a way. So God wants to use your pain to direct us. He also, number two, wants to use our pain to inspect us. I'm a tea drinker. I love tea. Coffee's okay, but I love tea. Every morning I stop at Tim Hortons, get my steep tea, roll up the rim. Not much of a winner, but still, roll up the rim is awesome. But I have a British heritage, so I just love, just give me tea. Now when I go to somewhere and say, I'd like a tea, they say, what kind of tea? And they've got like a million teas. I said, no, I just want tea, like, you know, black tea, like orange pekoe tea. I go to the grocery store and there's like summer berry tea. My wife has like mango passion tea. There's a pina colada tea. Did you know that? I'm pretty sure it's safe, but anyways, it's weird to me. But here's a quote I came across. People are like tea bags. If you want to know what's inside them, just drop them into hot water. Has your faith ever been tested because of your pain? And if it has, what does your pain reveal about you? Let's go back to the scripture I read before, James 1, verse 2 to 3. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Do you model Jesus in your pain? In the book of Ephesians, chapter 5, verse 1, it says, imitate God. In all things, we imitate God. Even in our pain. Now, I'm speaking to myself. I'm preaching to myself when I say that because I have the least amount of patience sometimes. I don't like long lines. I don't like lines. I don't know if you like lines. I don't like lines when you go to, like, McDonald's, and you're waiting there, and the person's looking at the menu, like, what do you have? It's McDonald's. It hasn't changed since you were, like, five. Anyways, I don't have patience for that. And my son knows, too. My son's like, uh-oh, Dad's going to go off in a second. But God is good. God wants to use our pain to inspect us. He wants to use our pain to direct us. Number three, God wants to use our pain to protect us. Here's a really cool story that I found. I'm just going to read it. Story about a place called Ravensbrück. It was one of the worst concentration camps in Germany during World War II. Now listen to this. It says, fleas and lice were so thick that upon entering the bunk rooms, you were swarmed by them. Swarmed by them. Two ladies had smuggled a Bible into the camp. And they traded it back and forth during the day, just reading it. They even tried to have some meetings, together and pray. If the guards had found out, they would have been executed for having the Bible, for praying, for having that time together. At first, the women held these meetings very timidly, very scared. But as the weeks wore on, no one was coming into the bunk rooms. So they started to get a little bolder, a little more courageous. They kept going. Finally, one of the ladies overheard some of the guards talk about how, I will never go in there. I'm not going in that bunk room because of the fleas, because of the lice. So this bad situation that we're in, God was using it for something good because it was actually protecting them. They were able to get the gospel in them and spread the gospel to those in the bunk rooms. Incredible story. In Genesis chapter 50, it says, you intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. God wants to direct us. He wants to inspect us. He wants to protect us. Lastly, number four, he wants to use our pain to perfect us. Pain, when responded to correctly, is a character builder. God is far more interested, church, in your character than your comfort. That's a hard one to chew on. He's more interested in your character than your comfort. In Romans chapter 5, it says this, we can rejoice when we run into problems, for they help us learn to be patient. And patience develops strength of character in us and helps us trust God more each time we use it, until finally our hope and faith are strong and steady. Keep going. Pain, suffering, trials, they're all things that God can use for good. He wants to use you. If you're going through pain, if you're going through a hard situation right now, he still wants to use you through those trials, through those hurts. Here's three questions I just want to quickly ask all of us today. Number one, if you're dealing with pain right now, what are you doing about it? Are you letting it drown you? Are you kind of sitting at, woe is me? Lately, we're planning a trip to Disneyland, which I've never been to Disneyland before. My wife and my oldest son are big Disney. They're trying to get Disney onto the little guy, but the little guy doesn't really know what's going on. So we watch a lot of Disney movies around my house. And do you know Winnie the Pooh? Winnie the Pooh, the bear that eats honey? I don't know a lot about this stuff. But there's that one character, his name's Eeyore. He's like a donkey. And like Eeyore could like stumble across $1 million, and he would still find something wrong with $1 million. Or $1 million was dirty, something like that. Sometimes I can relate to Eeyore. Sometimes I just see something and I just find the bad in it, and we can't do that. God wants to take the things of our life and use them for good. But what are you doing about your situation, where you are right now, the things you're dealing with? What are you doing about it? Number two, if you're facing a trial, who are you going to about it? Are you going to your coworkers and gossiping? Are you going to internet stuff? Are you going to psychics or these different things that aren't going to give you what you need? You've got a pastor who loves you, who would love to give you counsel and pray for you, but you have a God, if you just give him a chance, let him come in and take control of what's going on. Number three, whatever you're going through that hurts, who is with you? I love when the announcements were being done here about just coming together and praying for each other. I love what you guys are doing here. You're doing a great job. And just love each other. Make this a family that cares for one another. Just know that you are not alone in this. You're not alone in what you're going through. You might go home alone, but you're not alone. One of my favorite scriptures is Romans 8:37. It says, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. We don't just get by. We're more than conquerors. Philippians 4:13, very, very famous scripture. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. This is real stuff. Yeah, that's a really well-known scripture, but it's the truth. We need to act right when things are going wrong. Now, I've had my share of pain and trials, and I said briefly about an accident that I had, and I want to quickly highlight that a little bit of what happened. So I worked in a warehouse in Ajax. This is about 10 years ago. And we were a shipping and receiving company, so we drove all the forklifts and had all kinds of things. We dealt with plumbing valves, and I didn't know that plumbing valves could be like this big, and then they could be like a ton. So my job was I would do inventory. Every month I had to do inventory. I hated it, but I did it. And so this one day I woke up, you know, said goodbye to my wife, kissed her on the cheek. She was still sleeping. Went to work, get to work, get my clipboard, get all the stuff that I need to do. And the way we did inventory is you did a certain product class every month. So we had this one product class. It was the bigger valves. And so I was going around the day, and I was checking everything, and it came to this this wall where there was, it was actually a cement ramp that would go up to our loading dock. But then on the front of it was a huge rack that had these two massive crates. They were a little high off the ground, and each crate was a valve that weighed about 2,000 pounds each. And so I knew what they were. It was labeled, but to do your due diligence, they want you to actually go and look at the label that's on the valve. Well, the valve's in a crate, so I need to get up and look in the crate. So I decide to go up the ramp of the cement ramp and then kind of climb over the railing and step on the back of the beam of the rack. What I didn't realize is the beam was actually out. And so I stepped on the beam. Now, I actually had one foot still on the ramp and one foot on the beam, but my weight was there, and everything just collapsed, and it pinned me against the wall of this cement ramp. Not only pinned me, but it was pulling me. It was actually ripping. I could feel my knee, like, coming apart. No one knew what was going on. No one saw it, and so I'm just like, I'm in shock. I can't talk. Finally, my boss sees what's going on, and he jumps on a forklift, and he comes over, and he tries to lift the crate, but because he was lifting the crate from the back, it was actually crushing me even more, and I was screaming in pain. He starts to cry because he doesn't know what to do. They're watching me slip slower and slower. My wife, all this time at home, no idea what's going on. This went on for about 2 or 3 minutes, and I was going down. Finally, we had this guy. I don't remember his name. I think his name was Tim. He was a temp worker, a temp agency. You bring someone in. And Tim was there. So everyone's in the front looking at me, going down, and they're just in shock. And Tim runs up the back and comes beside me and takes his leg, and he pushes the crate as hard as he can, just enough to get my leg out. I get my leg out. Everything falls. But I was safe. Now, I'm still injured from it. My knee pops out from time to time, and I almost go down. My back gives out every now and then because of it, but I almost died because of this situation I was in. We try to hide in our pain. We can allow it to bury us. We try to run from God, but we need to know that he's the only way. And here's the thing. If we go to God, you know, it says in Revelation 3, I stand at the door and knock. I love that scripture for so many different contexts because it's so true. God doesn't want to just come in the front and watch you. He wants to run up and come beside you and help you in the situation. And in some of those cases, yeah, he's going to lift off that pain. For some of them, he's going to give you the strength you need to overcome. For some of your situations, he wants to give you peace. He is the only answer, church. And I'm not saying that your pain will go away, but he definitely wants to use your pain for his glory. He wants to use you as a tool. He doesn't have to use us, but he wants to. And he has the ability to give us what we need to keep moving forward. Despite the things coming at us, you have a strength. And it's in Christ Jesus. I want you to know that this morning. I want to end with a scripture, and then I just want to close in prayer and ask Pastor to come up. 1 Corinthians 15:58. I want to close with this. Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Father God, we thank you for today. I pray for this church today, Lord. I pray for individuals that are going through a tough situation, a tough time. Lord, may they look to you, the only one who can make a way. God, would you use these situations, these trials, these incidents, whatever it is, would you use them for your glory? Would you use these experiences that people are going through to let people know that there's a love and a hope that is for them, it's not against them? May this community, God, know from stories of people that have gone through garbage that there's a God who loves them and wants to walk with them, whatever is they're encountering. So whoever in this room, God, is experiencing needs, or a family member or a friend, God, that is related to them, that is going through something, Lord, we just pray for them right now. We pray your hand to be upon them, Holy Spirit. Would you have your way in those situations? But would you bring glory to your name through those things? May people rise up. Yeah, I'm having a bad day, but I'm still going to live for God. I'm still going to rejoice as we sang this morning. I'm going to rejoice in the bad days. I'm going to rejoice in the good days. God, we thank you. May you always be the center of our hearts. May you always be the center of our lives. May you always be the center of our pain. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you, church.
Praise God. That's just to hear, Matt, for a moment. I believe that God gave a word to the church this morning. Are you with me this morning? God did speak to us this morning. But we want to just call the band, come back up here for a moment. I just don't want to conclude this way. We want to take some time, because I know the church, I know where we're standing. I know that many of us are in the pain right now, in the season of pain. And we want you just to spend some time in prayer. As we can't just leave like this. We want to make an appeal. And for just to come forward. See, God uses our pain to direct us, to inspect us, to protect us, and to perfect us. So let's all stand this morning. And just respond to God's word this morning. God gave a word through Pastor Matt this morning to us here. And it is our time. It came to a point at the time of our service to end. We want to respond to the call of God. God is calling us to just draw close to him this morning and just spend time with him. As soon as they start playing the music, do not just stay seated and just to come forth and kneel down and you do what you have to do. Just call up to God, and God will just visit you this morning once again. So just come forth right now, and Pastor will come and pray with you and for you, and we have also the altar team was going to come pray for you. So if you have responding to the call this morning, we're responding to this appeal, I encourage you to come forward right now. We're going to pray for you this morning. Come forward. Don't waste any time. I know many of us here have pain this morning. I know many of us are going through a hard time this morning. And this word was timely. It was timely for us. So I just encourage you to come forward. And we're going to pray for you this morning.